If you want to know what is really happening in the world today, you need to read the Parsha HaShavua, the weekly Torah reading. Join Rabbi Mendel Lipska for the next hour as he delves and enumerates the themes running through the weekly Torah Parsha, only on 101.9 Chai FM.
And a wonderful Erev Shabbos to all of you. Great to be with you. Great to spend some time to talk about the Parsha, to talk about life, and to see how the Parsha can illuminate the path upon which we're walking. The world, as I've said so many times, has become a very disturbing and complex place, and it's up to us to understand that everything comes from God, and we have to see the hand of God in everything. We have to see the purpose of all these challenges, to see the purpose of whatever it is that God wants us to do in this world, and this is where Torah comes in. Torah enables us to see with clarity, to see with absolute certainty what it is that we have to do. We're very much into the month of Kislev, and Kislev is an incredible month, a month of miracles, a month that contains festivals that have changed the course of Jewish history and has given us incredible strength, incredible purpose, incredible understanding of how to deal with the most challenging of circumstances. Interesting, in America this weekend is what is known as Thanksgiving weekend. And strangely enough, Thanksgiving, the holiday of Thanksgiving, is the most celebrated holiday of all the holidays in America. We have quite a few. But the one that is most celebrated by most Americans is the holiday of Thanksgiving. And what's that all about? When the pilgrims came so many years ago, and they escaped what they consider to be difficulties in their homeland. They felt that their religion was not free. They were under tremendous pressure. They wanted to come to a new land where they could serve God in freedom and serve God with the ease and faith that they wanted to in order to live a new and better life morally and ethically. And the festival of Thanksgiving became a great tradition where every single year they thank God for have given them this possibility to escape religious persecution and to come to a land where religious freedom became available. Now, this idea of Thanksgiving and gratitude is something which is so basic to Jewish life. In fact, every time we wake up in the morning, what is the first thing that we say, Moda Ani? We thank God for returning our souls into our body, for having gone through the night to refresh and to wake up anew with strength to face the day. But the first thing that we do is that we accept the fact that God runs this world, and that each and every single moment that we are alive is a gift from God. And this is why we have to show gratitude. We have to express our thanksgiving. It's not something that we take for granted. It's not something that we say, well, it's there. And this is something that has to be expressed in every single area of life. Gratitude and thanksgiving. The ability to see how the gifts of God come from God, and therefore to say thank you with sincerity and with honesty in every single area of life. Because this shows who we are. This shows what kind of people we are and how we appreciate that which is given to us. And when we do this by example and by word, our children see this, and our children don't take things for granted as well. They too begin to show appreciation and thanksgiving from a young age onward. And one of the great problems with children today, by and large, throughout the world, is that they don't show gratitude and thanksgiving. They do take things for granted. They expect their parents to give them everything. And of course, parents should give their children whatever they can. But at the same time, parents have to educate their children to show gratitude. Because when gratitude is shown, it creates a different type of character. It creates a different type of person. It creates a person who's far more gentle, a person who understands the other in a far deeper and kinder way. It creates a person who knows how to say thank you with sincerity and depth. And this is the type of world that we have to make. This is what we need in the world today. And this is why Festival of Thanksgiving, strangely, almost always comes out close to or within the month of Kislev. And as I mentioned, the month of Kislev is a month of miracles. You know, we celebrate the miracle of Hanukkah. What was the miracle of Hanukkah? The miracle of Hanukkah was not only that a handful of people, Matisyahu and his sons, fought a great battle against a mighty army, a mighty nation. The tragedy was that the overwhelming vast majority of Jews had become so Hellenized, they accepted the culture and the idolatry and the philosophy of the Greeks. Not only was it a victory against an enemy, it was a turning point in Jewish history where the Jews themselves began to realize that they made a terrible mistake in accepting a foreign culture, a culture that talked to them about beauty and philosophy and ideas, but denied the presence of God. And when we look around the world today, we see, I don't know if it's the vast majority of Jews, but it's a huge number of Jews who have bought into a liberalism that speaks about philosophy and speaks about freedom and speaks about equality, but it denies the presence of God. And therefore, ultimately, will be destructive. And we've seen this time and again, that every movement, no matter how good it appears at the outset, how seductive it might appear at the beginning, if it doesn't have the foundation of godliness within it, it becomes idolatrous, it becomes violent, it becomes destructive. And that's the Hanukkah story. The Hanukkah story is a story of light. And that's why we celebrate Hanukkah with the lights, the Hanukkiah, the menorah. Every night we add another candle, another flame, to bring more godly light into the world. Because darkness can only be transformed through the introduction of light. You can't brush it away. You can't shout it away. You can only create light. And naturally, automatically, the darkness is gone. And the darkness within our own community. And this is what Matisyahu and his sons had to battle against. Not only a mighty army, but a community of their own that had lost the way, that had accepted a strange and disastrous philosophy. Month of Kislev reminds us who and what we are, where we come from, what we have to do in this world, what it is that we have to accomplish, and not only what we have to do, but how to do it as well. How to bring that light into the world. How to bring the light through Torah and mitzvot, through the study of Torah, performance of commandments. This is how we chase away the darkness. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
The Parsha, of course, this week is Vayetze, which is the beginning of the great journey that our patriarch Jacob Yaakov Avinu begins, a journey that continues to this very day. Yaakov is the third of the patriarchs, the Avot, the forefathers, and his journey is very different than the journeys of his grandfather Abraham, Avraham Avinu, or his father Yitzchak, Isaac. His journey is one that establishes the Jewish people. He is the one who fathers the 12 tribes. He is the one that truly establishes what becomes Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel. In fact, his name is not only Yaakov, but Israel. And what is it about him that is so different? What is it about Yaakov that is so different that it enables him to establish the Jewish people? And how does it connect with the time of the year and perhaps a message for the world that we live in right now? Yaakov is not a young man. He's, well, in his 70s, late 60s. And it says, Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Sheva. Yaakov leaves. He exits his father's home, a place of spiritual tranquility, a place of tremendous holiness, a place that is comfortable in the fullest sense of the word, holy in the fullest sense of the word. Vayelech Harana, and he has to go to Haran. And Haran, the very name suggests anger, violence, chaos, a place which is the extreme opposite of Be'er Sheva. Be'er Sheva, picture a place of tranquil holiness. Haran, a place of violence and anger and chaos. How does he make that transition? And as you hear, the Torah uses two very distinct verbs describing that journey. Vayetze, he has to leave one place. Vayelech, and he has to go to another place. It's not one action. It's two very different type of movements. He has to leave his father's home. He has to go to another place. The Yaakov that lives in his father's home is not the same type of individual and character and personality that will cope in the house of Laban in Haran. He has to develop himself differently. He needs different types of tools and talents, because what he is in his father's home is gentle and holy. And what he has to be in the society of Haran is far stronger in order not only to survive, but to make an impact upon a society that's altogether different, the complete opposite. And interestingly enough, as Chazal, our sages tell us, that transition wasn't overnight. He didn't leave his father's home and the next day or the next week or the next month or even the next year appear in the house of Laban, in the society of Haran. He spent 14 years studying in the great Torah Academy of Shem Ve'Ever. That's the buffer between his father's home and Haran. Even though Yaakov at that age was a developed scholar, a giant of a man, a person of great strength, he needed different qualities, he needed different talents in order to do what had to be done, raise a family, create the foundation of the Jewish people in a strange, violent, chaotic, immoral society such as Haran. How does Yaakov do that? And in fact, what message does it hold for us? How does Yaakov actually move from that gentle Torah scholar within his father's home, where he spent decades studying Torah? Does he move into the role of a shepherd and change that society as well and become Well, Bechir Sheba Avot, the chosen, the perfect of the patriarchs. In many ways, in most ways, greater even than Abraham and even than his own father. He's penniless, although he left the home with wealth. The son of Esav, who had vowed to kill his own brother, the son of Esav, Eliphaz, took everything away from him. He arrives in this strange land absolutely penniless. Unlike Avraham, who also took a great journey, but Avraham was a man of immense wealth and great honor. Everyone knew about Abraham. Yitzchak never left the Holy Land, but wherever Yitzchak left, he also went with majestic greatness. Yaakov, on his own, only the clothes on his back. And he comes into this place called Haran. And what's his first encounter? He sees flocks of sheep and the shepherds sitting around. And he turns to them. It's the middle of the day. And he says, why aren't you taking care of your sheep? Why aren't you letting them graze? Why are you sitting here doing nothing? And they give him an answer, well, we're waiting for everybody to come so we can roll this huge stone off the well so the sheep can drink. And he says, no. If you are shepherds working for someone else and you're sitting around being lazy, that's thievery, that's theft. And even if these sheep are your own, laziness is not the way to build an economy. It's not the way to build an ethical, moral society. You need work, hard work, in order to build a good society. Hold on a moment. Here he is, a stranger in a strange land, coming on his own with the clothes on his back, and he's lecturing these people. He's telling these people how to behave. Of course, what he's saying is right. But who is he to tell these people what to do or not to do? What's it his business? And that's what he learned in the 14 years that he was in the yeshiva of Shemba Ever. To have the incredible courage and strength to stand up and speak out through word and action, through example, and create a different type of environment, and not to accept the status quo and the immoral and ethical behavior of people around them. All his learning now became something that he could use, expressed so beautifully generations later through Isaiah, the great prophet, to become a light unto nation. And to become a light unto nations means to teach the right way, to show people how to behave correctly, what is right and what is wrong. Not to sit back and say, well, I'm minding my own business. When the world around you behaves badly, it is your duty to speak out. Wherever you are, God brought you there for a purpose. That when people see you, when people notice you, they have to see an individual that becomes the moral compass of humankind. This is the direction that we have to go. What you're doing is wrong. Not to sit back and say, well, that's the way it is. Not to sit back and be silent. But to stand up and to speak. And it doesn't mean that you have to stand on the soapbox in the city square and shout and scream. But there has to be a determination of strength. You have to show through word, through action, through example, that this is not acceptable and things have to change, each in their own way. Some through word, some through example, some through, well, whatever it is, family, friends, business associates, environment. There has to be a constant expression and gesture of being a light unto nations. And that's what Yaakov has learned, to have that courage. And Yaakov knows that he's going to have to raise a family in this incredibly challenging and difficult society. And that family is going to become the foundation of the Jewish people, the 12 tribes. And how will they know how to behave unless he shows them that despite and in spite of the fact that they are living in the most difficult of exiles and societies, they will do the right thing, come what may. They will not learn from the people around them. The people around them are dishonest, unethical, immoral. They will not follow that culture. That was the tragedy of Hanukkah. The tragedy of Hanukkah is that people were so impressed by the aesthetics of Greece, by the philosophies, by the ideas, that they bought into their culture, which was immoral. Immoral to the nth degree. Idolatry. And this is something that Jews throughout history have lived by to the point of tremendous self-sacrifice. Yes, we've lost many through assimilation. We've lost so many who tragically didn't have the courage to stand up and behave with strength, with determination, with the ability to say, no, I will not accept. This environment is not the one in which I'm going to accept social mores. I will change, and I will change them as well. I will be a light unto nations. I will be the moral compass. This is what Yaakov is telling us. And this is something that we have to understand in the world today. The courage of standing up and speaking the truth and living a life that's true. And not wanting to be like them, but rather wanting to be who we are. And that's how Yaakov builds a foundation of a family that becomes the great B'nai Israel, the Jewish people. A nation that has survived where no one else has. A nation that continues to live where no one else has. And this is the great story of Yaakov's journey. And we're part of it. Full of challenges, full of difficulties, full of moments when we think to ourselves, but it's so impossible. And then a moment later we realize that we have the strength and it is possible. More of that soon.
This is the Parsha HaShavua with Rabbi Mendel Lipska, only on 101.9 High FM.
The Jewish Women's Benevolent Society is hosting their final book sale of 2025, the Sunday, the 30th of November, from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. Come browse an incredible range of books at great prices. For more information, call 011-485-5232. That's 011-485-5232, or email office at jwbs.co.za. That's office at jwbs.co.za. Don't miss the last book sale of this year. started talking at the beginning of the show of the month of Kislev, of gratitude, of thanksgiving, of how to deal with a world in which everything seems to be absolutely chaotic. And yet we look at Torah, we look at the mystical dimensions of the month of Kislev, and things become clear, and we begin to understand that we have a mission. We look at our patriarch, Yaakov, Yaakov Avinu, and we see his courage. He stands up, he speaks out. He's there in the most difficult of exiles and societies, and he raises a powerful family that becomes the foundation of the Jewish people. There's something interesting about the month of Kislev. The tribe connected with the month of Kislev is Binyamin, the youngest son of Yaakov. He hasn't been born yet in this parsha. But interesting about the tribe of Binyamin, his flag had the colors of every single tribe. Every single tribe had a unique color on their flags. Binyamin had the colors of every single tribe. What does that mean, of course? Unity. He put it all together. That's another dimension of the strength we have, the unity. Yes, we disagree from time to time. And we don't see eye to eye always, but essentially we are a united people. And because we have this inner unity, we stand together. We have strength, we have power. And this achdut, this incredible unity, is so important, particularly at this time. And the month of Kislev highlights this idea of unity, something which is so important for us to succeed and be victorious in a time of challenge. And something else interesting about the month of Kislev, what's the action? You know, every month is connected with a particular action, eating, walking. The month of Kislev, the action connected with this month is sleeping. Now, a lot of people think sleeping is a waste of time. Well, you have to sleep because your body is exhausted and it needs to refresh, etc., etc., etc. Other people simply say, well, it's an enjoyable activity, you fall asleep, etc. But sleep is a very special time. It's a time that we return our souls to God. In fact, in the prayer that we say before we go to sleep, the Shema, and also the prayers that accompany the Shema at night, we say, B'yadcha afkid ruchi, God, I am entrusting my soul into your hands as I go to sleep. Take care of it. Refresh it. Then in the morning, we thank God, the Moda Adi Ani. We thank God for returning it to us. Now that's developing a personal relationship with God at a very, very vulnerable moment, before we go to sleep and as we wake up. When we, in a sense, lose consciousness, and when we regain consciousness. It's that very gray moment of life. During the day, we're busy, we're full, we think, we act, we run, we go. But it's those semi-conscious moments, as we fall asleep, as we wake up, we have a personal relationship with God. And when we have a personal relationship with God, we talk to God. I entrust my soul to you. I thank you for returning my soul. We know that God is with us. And when we know that God is with us, we can stand up to any challenge that we face. Finished and clear. We can stand up to any challenge that we face. And this is what Yaakov tells us. He also had that great dream, and he speaks to God. And he said, God, if you are with me, if you will give me food to eat and clothes to wear and protect me and allow me to return to my father's home in peace. That personal relationship with God. That's what he teaches us. What does he talk about? What does he talk about before he goes into that tremendous, challenging mission of coming to the land of Haran? A difficult place, an impossible place, where he has to raise a family and change that society to the level that he can and should. Has a personal relationship with God, a private conversation with God. And we have to have the private conversation with God every night and every morning. And that's what the month of Kislev is all about. And that's how we win against formidable enemies, spiritual, physical, within and without. By knowing within ourselves that we have a personal relationship with God. And that's why when you're in Shul tomorrow, be in Shul tomorrow. And you hear the reading of the Torah, listen to that incredible story of Yaakov and the challenges that he had, how he speaks to the shepherds, how he encounters Rachel, who later becomes his wife, and how Laban, his father-in-law, tries to cheat him, but ultimately Yaakov reigns supreme, and how he has to leave the house and Laban tries to kill him. Listen to all that story. And as I always say, listen to that part of the story that resonates with you, because you will hear something special. It's a great Shabbos. Vayetze. You go from one set of circumstances, Vayelech, and you go to a tremendous opportunity of change and challenge where strength will come and you can change the world. Good Shabbos.